If you turn in your Bibles to this book of Psalm chapter 100, Psalm chapter number 100, I believe we can experience revival. One sure way that we can experience revival and get closer to God and have revival in our life is to begin by just getting into the presence of God. If we would just get into the presence of God. My prayer and one of our goals and one of the things that we love to do as we travel is to have revival meetings. And I believe our nation can have revival. I believe that with all my heart, our nation can have revival. If America, like in 2 Chronicles, as that was talking specifically to God's people, I believe if we would humble ourselves and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, God can heal our land, America. We certainly need revival. We may never experience national revival, but I know I can experience revival in my life. My family can have revival. And one thing that we pray for as we travel and one thing we would love to experience is if our family has revival and we're able to spend some time in a church, and that church, there's a few families in that church that has revival, and then we go maybe across town and have a revival meeting at another church across town, and that church has revival, I believe that then can spread like a fire. We had the opportunity to spend almost a month in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this last year. We had a chance to spend about a month on the east side of Oklahoma and spend about 4 or 5 weeks there in different churches, all in one area. We did the same thing in Illinois, in the central Illinois area, before it got too cold. We spent some time in Illinois. And I think, man, what a neat thing that would be just to be able to see revival in an area. And I know God can do it. I know that that we can have revival, but one way that we can have revival or to begin to have revival is by just getting into the presence of God. If we would get into the presence of God and if we could see God for who He is and really spend time with God and get to know God and see His righteousness and see His holiness, being in the presence of God and just spending time with the Lord, seeing how holy He is and getting to know God through His Word, that will reveal who I am. If I can get to know God through His Word and see who He is and how holy He is and how righteous He is, then I see where I need to change. You know, His Word will be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I can see where I need to change in my life. And in the presence of God, there's conviction in my life, and I see where I need to change. Well, one way that we can get into the presence of God is by this area of thanksgiving. In Psalm chapter 100, that's what we're going to look at tonight, is the idea of thanksgiving and praising the Lord for His goodness. In Psalm chapter 100, we'll look at the last two verses here. Psalm chapter 100, verse number 4, the Bible says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." We can enter into the presence of God, and we can have presence with the Lord, and we do that through thanksgiving and praise. Let's pray and we'll begin tonight. Lord God, I thank You so much for the truth of Your Word. God, I love Your Word and I'm very thankful for it. Lord, I pray that You would speak to us tonight. God, I realize, as I'm sure most here do, we realize, Lord, that we're not worthy of Your blessings. Lord, we're not worthy of a relationship with You. Lord, because of our sin, we deserve to be cast into outer darkness. But so, Lord, we quickly admit that we're not worthy and we're undeserving. Lord, You're just gracious to us and You're merciful. Lord, we thank You for that. And Lord, I pray as we focus on that tonight, Lord, You would help us to see just how good You are to us. And Lord, how much You bless us. God, I pray that You would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, that You would challenge us. God, in our Christian life, Lord, that we would serve You and that we would labor for You. Lord, that if there's somebody here tonight that's not saved, Lord, first of all, I pray that they'd be saved tonight before it's too late. God, thank You again for Your Word. I pray, Lord, that as we study this Word tonight, Lord, that You would help us, and Lord, that the Holy Spirit would have control. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we look also in the book of Psalms, turn to Psalm chapter 107. We'll spend the rest of the night here, mostly. We may chase a rabbit or two in some other passages, but mostly we'll spend the rest of the night here in Psalm chapter 107. And when I say the rest of the night, it could be the rest of the night. Not real. Come on. That was a joke. That was a joke. Not really the rest of the night. Some of them looked at me like I was serious about the rest of the night. And I was just teasing. We won't do that. You know, 9 or 10 o'clock at the latest, I promise. No. Psalm chapter 107. Again, we're looking at the idea of entering into the presence of God. And one way can do that is through praise and thanksgiving. I love this chapter, Psalm chapter 107, broken up mainly here into four different sections. Four different things that we can thank God for, and then we can praise God for. In fact, if you look at just the first verse, looking at just the first verse of chapter 107, we can see what the chapter is about. Well, the first verse, chapter 107, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Now that word mercy is not getting what I do deserve. Not getting what I do deserve. That's mercy. I deserve the wrath of God. I deserve the punishment. I deserve that. Now when God does not give me what I do deserve, like judgment, that's mercy. And we can give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. And that's what this chapter is about. Now, as we look at verse number 2 through verse number 9, we can thank God and we can praise God for our salvation. Man, I don't deserve to be saved. In fact, I'm a sinner, and I deserve punishment for my sin. And I can thank God because He was merciful unto me. I think back in my personal life to the day, 8 days before my 9th birthday, December 10, 1987. It was in Alamogordo, New Mexico, where I got saved. I'm very thankful for that day. I didn't deserve it. I still don't deserve salvation. But I'm thankful and I can praise God because He delivered me from the bonds of sin, He delivered me from the punishment of sin. Let's read verse number 2 through verse number 9. Now this here specifically is talking about the nation of Israel. Verse number 2, the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and hath gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." Verse number 6 and verse number 8. These two verses specifically, verse number 6 and verse number 8, we'll find these verses repeated almost word for word throughout the chapter. Look at verse number 6. "Remember, they're hungry and they're thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto their Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Again, I'm reminded of the song that my daughters and my wife Abby just sang, that, you know, so many times people are searching. They're longing for something. They're looking for peace. They're looking for happiness. And you'll never find true peace, and you'll never truly find happiness outside of the Lord. And you can thank God and you can praise God for salvation, because think back just for a minute before the day that you got saved, maybe for a few days or for a few weeks or months before you got saved, how you were searching and you were looking for truth and you were looking for answers and you were looking for joy and maybe you were searching for salvation and didn't know that that's what you were looking for, but you were looking for something. I'm thankful that when I was searching, when I was needing a Savior, when I was looking for a Savior, I found my Savior, Jesus Christ, and I confessed my sin to Him, and I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And when I cried unto the Lord in my trouble, man, listen, I needed a Savior. I was in trouble. I needed a Savior. As a little boy, I had not committed the great sins that we think of, but I was a sinner, and I deserved punishment for my sin. I had lied to my parents. I had stolen candy from the candy store. I had aggravated my sisters, and I had disobeyed my parents, and I had done those sins, and I needed a Savior. And I cried unto the Lord, and He saved me. Don't you just, every once in a while, it's good. We ought to just stop and think back about the day, about the time, the day that we got saved, and how the Lord has delivered us from the punishment of sin. Not only can we thank God and praise God for salvation, but we can thank God and we can praise God for delivering us from the chains of sin. And the addictions of sin, how sin binds us. You know, sometimes, obviously, even after we're saved, we still struggle with sin, right? We all do. You know, I was saved back when I was 8 years old. I've sinned since then an awful lot. Ask my wife and kids, they'll tell you. Ask my family, ask anybody that knows me. Ask your co-workers and your family, they'll tell you that you're a sinner also. You know, we all sin. We all struggle with sin, and we all have these temptations, and we all struggle with sin in our life. Well, in times of my life when I am giving into that temptation, and I am struggling with sin in my life, and sin has a hold on me, that sin, as we read about it here in these next few verses, that sin is like chains. That sin is like being behind bars of iron, and which is where I deserve to be, which is what I deserve. I deserve to be in chains. I deserve to be bound because of my sin. But I'm thankful for a God who has the power to deliver me from these chains that bind me. Even after I'm saved, I still struggle with sin. We all do. Well, I'm thankful for a God who has the power to deliver me. Let's continue reading in verse number 10. We'll read verse number 10 through verse number 16. The Bible says in verse number 10, "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." Why? "Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High." That word contemned means to despise or to hate or to loathe or abhor. They despised the counsel of God. They rebelled against the words of God. Now, continue reading verse number 12. "Therefore," here they are, they're sitting in darkness, they're bound in affliction and iron, verse number 10. Why? "Because they rebelled against God and His words, because they despised or hated the words of God. Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help." I love verse number 13. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder." Man, I can thank God and I can praise God because He has the power to deliver me from the chains of sin. Now listen, when I despise God's Word, when I rebel against God's Word, I'm talking about as a Christian, as a saved person, when I rebel against the words of God, when I despise or when I contemn the counsel of the Most High, I deserve to be in bars. I deserve to be sitting in darkness. I deserve to be in chains. Now listen, I know what God expects of me. As a Christian, you sit under Pastor Ray's preaching, you read the Word of God, and you know what God expects. As a Christian, we know what we're supposed to do. We know we're supposed to be faithful to church. We know we're supposed to be good stewards of our money and tithe and give. And we know we're supposed to be holy. We know we're supposed to be righteous. We know we're supposed to live a clean life. We know we're supposed to stay away from sin. We know we're supposed to stay away from the things of this world. I know what God's Word says. But the problem is, I have a flesh. And sometimes the words of God and the counsel of God goes against what I want to do. Now, all of us experience this. You know, we can pretend, well, no, not me. I always do what God wants me to do. No, we don't. We're all a bunch of sinners. And when I know what God's Word says, and when I know what God expects me to do, and I know what God expects me to not do, and I reject the Word of God, and I despise the Word of God, or the Bible says, contemn the counsel of the Most High, what do I deserve? I deserve punishment. I deserve the judgment of God. I deserve the wrath of God. Now, here's where, think back to verse number 1, where he says we can thank God for His mercy. His mercy endureth forever. God's merciful. Because I have chosen to rebel against God, because I've chosen or I have despised the counsel of God, I deserve to sit in darkness. I deserve to be in the chains. But now, wait a minute. If I am bound by these chains as a Christian, if I'm continually giving into my sinful habits and I'm continuing to give into sin, I can't serve God the way that I ought to. I can't serve the Lord the way that I ought to if I'm covered in sin and I'm living a life of sin. Well, when I find myself in that place, I can cry unto the Lord. Truly being remorseful and repentant and sorrowful for my sin, I can cry unto the Lord and say, Lord, I've blown it again. God, I'm finding myself in darkness and I'm in these chains because I've sinned against you, because I've rebelled against your word. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Now, I'm not getting saved again because I only need to get saved once. But that verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm thankful for a God, and I can praise God for when I'm in that darkness and when I'm bound by chains, which is where I deserve to be because I rebelled against God's word. I can thank God and praise God because when I cry unto Him, He delivers me. I cannot overcome sin and pull myself out of this darkness and break these chains. I can't do that with my own flesh. I can't do that with my own strength. But God has the power to help me overcome sinful habits. I can thank God and praise God, number one, for salvation. I can thank God and praise God for delivering me from these chains of sin that bind me. Number three, I can thank God and I can praise God for healing me. God heals. I can thank God and praise Him for that. You see, sin, literally, physically, sin will make you sick. It will. Think about the sin of alcohol. Think about the sin of drugs. Think about those specifically, those types of sin. Those sins in your life, they will make you literally, physically, they will make your body sick. And not just those sins, but we'll look at other types of sickness that is a result of sin. But God has the power to heal my sickness. Let's continue reading. Look at verse number 17 through verse number 22. 17 through verse number 22, the Bible says in verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. That word transgression, that word iniquities, those are just big fancy words for sin. Fools, because of their sin, because of their transgression, because of their iniquity, are afflicted. Verse number 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. And they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. I can thank God and I can praise God because He has the power to heal my wounds from sin. Now, sin will make you sick. You know, we've already mentioned like the drugs and alcohol and those types of sins. And there are consequences for sins and they will make you sick. I was talking to even teenagers this morning in our class. There are sins of fornication that will make me sick and that will make my family sick. Man, God has blessed me with a beautiful wife. Brother Reyes, you know this scale that we all have in our mind, like this scale of 1 to 10. You know, we can kind of rate everybody on a scale of 1 to 10. And, you know, when you're looking at marriage and getting married, I'm married way up the scale. I'm being nice to myself and, you know, making myself feel good when I call myself like maybe a 3 or a 4, you know, on the scale of 1 to 10. I'm married like a 10. I'm married like an 11 and a half. I mean, she's like, she blew the scale out. I mean, I'm married way up. God blessed me with beautiful kids. God blessed me with talent, a family that's talented and can sing. And God blessed me in that. Now, I can make my family real sick if I would get involved in sins like fornication, if I would get involved in sins of pornography, if I would have an affair, if I would cheat on my wife and find me a girlfriend on the side, and I would commit adultery. And listen, those types of sin would make me sick. Those types of sin would make my family sick. Those types of sin could destroy my family. Listen, why are marriages and families destroyed and ruined? Because of sin in the family, because of sin in the home, and those types of sin. And listen, sinning financially, making foolish financial choices will make your finances sick, if you know what I mean. Now, you can be sick financially because of foolish choices with sin. Now listen, because of my foolish choices, because of the sinful choices that I make, and all of us make these foolish, sinful choices, we deserve the sickness. We deserve the wounds. We deserve that. But I'm thankful for a God when I cry unto Him and I'm sick because of the sins that I've committed. I cry unto God and He has the power to heal. He has the power to heal my wounds. I want to keep your hand there or a finger or a piece of paper or something in Psalm 107. We'll be right back. I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Notice, if you remember, turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Remember what he said back in our text when he said he sent his word and healed them. Notice it's the word of God that has actually the power to heal us and to heal our sickness. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 10, Isaiah here gives us some good verses here. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 10, the Bible says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." So he's comparing or speaking here of the rain and the snow that comes from heaven. It has a purpose. That rain and that snow, it comes from heaven. It waters the ground so that the ground can have a seed and the trees can grow and those things. Verse number 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Back in our text in Psalm chapter 107, God sent His word. And just as Isaiah was comparing the snow and the rain, I know out here in the desert, y'all don't get a whole lot of rain. In Arkansas, we get a little bit. Parts of Texas, North Texas, I guess we get a little bit. And when I lived up in Illinois, they got a lot of rain up there. But that rain, when it falls, and that snow, when it falls, it has a purpose. That rain and that snow, when it falls, its purpose is to water the ground so that the crops can grow and seed and food and things like that. Well, just as that rain, remember back in science class, that cycle of water? Some of y'all, hopefully y'all paid attention better in science than I did, because I'm sure I'll get some of these terms wrong. But that precipitation, and then that all that water would go down through the rivers and creeks and into the ocean. And then you've got evaporation or condensation or something like that. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. That cycle of water, the water goes back up into the heavens and then it comes down again and waters the earth. Listen, God has a purpose for His word. And one of the purposes of His word is His word can heal. His word can heal our sickness. His word can heal our wounds. Look back in our text in Psalm chapter 107. Here we are. They're sick because of our foolish choices. Verse number 20. After they cried unto the Lord in verse number 19. Verse number 20. He sent His word and healed them. He sent His word and healed them. I'm thankful for the word of God that has the power, that ointment, that balm that can heal my wounds, Now, I deserve the wounds. I deserve the sickness because of my sinful choices. Now, what is the difference, you ask? What is the difference between somebody who is sick because of sin and they continue to experience the sickness because of sin and maybe somebody over here who has seemingly been healed from the sickness? The difference a lot of times is one has applied the healing, the Word of God. God's Word has the power to heal. Now, God's Word can heal my sickness. If I'm living a life of sin and I have sickness because of that, if I would just get in God's Word, if I would just apply the healing, if I would just apply the ointment of God's Word can heal my life. Now, if I continue to reject God's Word, if I continue to ignore God's Word and continue to foolishly despise God's Word or rebel against God's Word, I'm going to continue to experience sickness. But if I would get in God's Word and if I would apply God's Word to my life, not just read it or not just pick it up and carry it with me to church every once in a while, but if I would dive into it and study and meditate and memorize. I love the memory verses here and how you memorize verses. If I would memorize God's Word and if I would apply God's Word to my life, God's Word has the power to heal my wounds and my sickness. And I'm reminded, as we look at this verse, and I'm reminded of a story back when I lived in Alamogordo, New Mexico. I was about 6 years old. I had two older sisters. If I was six, my two older sisters, they would have been 8 and 10. We were all about 2 years apart. And man, they were mean. They were ornery. They picked on me all the time. I was the baby in the family. Never did anything wrong. I was the good brother. Never aggravated or nothing. Y'all just have to take my word for it because my sisters aren't here to tell their side of the story. So y'all just believe me now. I was the good brother and I was nice and something like that. But my sisters, they always picked on me. They always aggravated me and things like that. One time this was back in the late 80s, early 90s, probably late 80s. And my mom went into the bread store, into the grocery store and left us three kids out in the car. And one of my sisters was sitting up front. Me and my other sister, we were sitting in the back seat. And I'm telling you what, a fight broke out like you ain't never seen between my two sisters. I mean, they were scratching and clawing and fighting and pulling hair. I don't know what it was over. But me, being the good brother that I was, I stepped in. I said, listen now, y'all. Y'all can't do this. Y'all need to separate. Y'all need to stop. And being the good brother that I was, I got right in the middle of that thing. And I tried to break it up. Now, she says it was an accident. I don't know if I should believe her or not. But one of my sisters, she scratched me on the back of my hand. Now, there's a point to this story. I'm going somewhere with this. On the back of my hand, you come see me after church and I'll show you. Some of you up front, you may even be able to see it from there. But I've got a scar on the back of my hand that's long and wide. And her fingernail just dug into my skin. And it bled. And there was a wound there. Listen, there was a wound there because of sin. Their sin, not my sin. Okay. All right. So maybe I was in on the fight too. I don't know. But anyway, there was a wound there. My mom came out of that store and we went back to the house and we got some, I don't know if they had it back then or something like it, some triple antibiotic ointment or something, some salve or some ointment, put that on there and a Band-Aid. And after time, that wound is healed because we applied the ointment, because we applied something that would heal. Now, don't miss the point. I still have a scar. I was 30-something years ago. I'm 37 years old right now. That was about 30 years ago. I still bear the scar from that wound. Would it not be better if we just didn't have the wound to begin with? Now listen, when I foolishly choose to rebel against God's Word, and I choose to sin, and I go down my own path of unrighteousness, that sin has consequences, and there will be results of that sin, and there will be consequences of the sin, and I will have wounds and sickness. Sin will make you sick. I'm thankful for a God who has the power through His Word. He sent His Word, and His Word can heal my wounds. Now, I want to remind you that you may still bear the scars because of sinful choices that you made. You may still bear the scars. I know friends and family and even myself, I still bear scars of sins that I made when I was younger. And sins that I make even today, there could be or will be scars in the future. But I'm thankful that the wound is healed. And God, because of His Word and because of the ointment of God and the Word of God, that sickness can be healed. It's best just to not sin, right? It's best just to not sin. I'm thankful for a God who has the power to heal. Let's look at one more before we're finished. Let's continue reading verse number 23 through verse number 31 or 32, somewhere around there. Before we get there, listen carefully. These first two or three that we've looked at, I can thank God and I can praise God for my salvation. I needed salvation because I chose to sin and because I was a sinner. I am a sinner. I needed salvation because I chose to sin. Number two, I can thank God and I can praise God for delivering me from the chains of sin that bind me, those chains, the darkness. I can thank God and praise God for delivering me from that. But that was my choice. I chose to sin because I despised God's Word, because I rebelled against God's Word. I can thank God and praise God for delivering me. Number three, I can thank God and I can praise God for healing. His Word heals. But again, that was a result of my foolish choices. And I can thank God and I can praise God for these things. But lastly, as we look at number four, sometimes things come into our life that are not necessarily a direct result of my choices. Sometimes it's just God sending a storm into my life. Sometimes it's just God that's testing my faith. Let's continue reading here. Number four, we can thank God and we can praise God for protection from the storms of life. Look at verse number 23. Verse number 23, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He, talking about the Lord, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Have you ever been in a storm of life when you were just staggering to and fro at your wit's end? That means you don't know which direction to go. You're in the midst of a storm. The waves are so high and they're just beating you up, tossing you around. The winds are high and the waves are high and you're just at your wit's end. Sometimes God sends a storm into our life. He says, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. I'm thankful for a God. When I'm in the storms of life, I can cry unto Him. Verse number 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He, the same God that brought the storm, is the same God that can calm the storm. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. These first three that we've looked at are a result of my sin, right? It's a result of sin. We chose to rebel against God's Word. We chose to sin, and because of that, we find ourselves in darkness. We find ourselves in behind bars, if you would, either literally or maybe figuratively. We find ourselves sick because of sin, and we deserve that. And it's only the mercy of God that He delivers us from that punishment. But sometimes we're in the storm of life, and the only reason, if no other reason, a lot of times that reason is simply to test our faith. Will you remember the words of God, and will you remember the faithfulness of God when you're in the middle of a storm? I'm reminded of the story. We don't have to turn there for the sake of time, but I'm reminded of the story in Matthew chapter 14 and other stories throughout the Gospels. I'm reminded of this one particularly, Matthew chapter 14, when they were in the middle of a storm. And Jesus told His disciples, this was right after, this one in Matthew 14, this was right after they had just fed 5,000 men plus women and children. And God told His disciples, Jesus Christ told His disciples, y'all get in the boat and go over to the other side. I'll meet you on the other side. And a storm came. And the Bible says that the winds and the waves were raging and beat that ship apart. And there was water in the boat. And they were afraid. They thought they were about to drown. And Jesus came out walking on the water. And He actually rebuked them for their lack of faith. A lot of times a storm comes into our life simply for this, just to test us. Are we going to remain faithful to God? Are we going to remain faithful to His Word? Are we going to remain faithful to Him and continue to serve Him? In the midst of a storm, will you cry unto the Lord? Will you be faithful to Him? Will you remember His promises? Don't let the storms of this life get you away from God. They should draw you closer to God. When a storm comes in your life, it shouldn't get you out of church. It should get you more faithful to church. A storm in life shouldn't get you out of God's Word. It should drive you to God's Word. Will you be faithful into the storm and in the storm and cry unto Him? My family has been through some storms, even recently. My wife just lost her dad less than a year ago, a sudden heart attack. And he was young, 69 years old, a sudden heart attack took him. That's a storm that Abby and our family has gone through. And praise the Lord for this. It's driven many of the family closer to God. My sister, 4 years ago, actually Valentine's Day was a four-year anniversary. My sister passed away. My oldest sister passed away. A very rare thing happened. A very rare infection that she got. She was in the hospital for 8 days and took her life. Very rare thing. Less than a year after that, my mom had just lost her daughter, my sister. Less than a year after that, in Granbury, Texas, a tornado came through and took my mom's sister and her husband. Just a few months after that, my mom's mom died. So in all of about 14 months, my mom lost her daughter, lost one of her sisters and her brother-in-law, and lost her mom. Man, sometimes storms like that just come into our life. And those types of storms, it not necessarily is a result of sin. Sometimes it's just God testing us. Are we going to be faithful to Him? Are we going to continue to serve Him? Are we going to praise God in the middle of a storm? When you are in a storm of life, it could be that God is testing your faith. Will you remain faithful? Listen, you can cry unto the Lord. And God, the same God who brought the storms, the same God has the power to calm the storms. And He can bring you safely to your desired haven, as He says in verse number 30. I'm thankful for a God who has the power to save me. I'm thankful for a God who has the power to deliver me and to lift me up out of darkness and break the chains that bind me. I'm thankful for a God that has the power to heal my wounds and my sickness. And I'm thankful for a God who has the power to protect me from the storms of life. These next few verses through this chapter talk about the omnipotence of God. To conclude this chapter, these next few verses talk about it's God that allows this. It's God that brings up. It's God that sets down. God is in control. We have a powerful, mighty God. I want to draw your attention to the very last verse, and this will be our conclusion. Verse number 43. The very last verse, Psalm chapter 107, verse number 43. The Bible says, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Whoso is wise and will observe these things. What things? I don't know, maybe these four things that we've just looked at tonight. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Have you ever been to a point in your life? Have you ever, maybe you've been there, or maybe you've known somebody who's there, who questioned the love of God? That's exactly That plays right into the devil. That plays in the devil's playbook. It's a whole other sermon we don't have time for tonight. But if the devil can get you to doubt the love of God, you won't serve God. Jesus said many times in the New Testament, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You study 1 John, 5 chapters. It's a short book. Study 1 John. You can't separate in that book and throughout the Bible. You can't separate love and obedience. I love him because he first loved me. And I will obey him because I love him. But if I doubt his love for me, I'm not going to love him the way that I should. If I wonder if he loves me, if I wonder if there is a God, and if I doubt his love for me, I'm not going to love him the way that I should, and I'm certainly not going to serve him the way that I should. And you may be in this place, or maybe you know somebody in this place, and they just wonder, how can there be a God? And if there is a God, why has he allowed these things into our life? May I remind you of these four simple truths. God has the power to save you tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, there's only one that can save, and that's Jesus Christ. God and His Son, Jesus Christ, He has the power to save you. If you're here this evening and you're lost, as Pastor mentioned this morning, not sure of your salvation, Jesus has the power to save you. God can save you. You can thank God and you can praise God because He has the power to deliver you from the chains and lift you up out of darkness. You can thank God and praise God because He has the power to heal you. You can thank God and you can praise God because He has the power to protect you. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. I don't think we'll ever fully understand the love of God. I don't know that we'll ever fully understand it, why a God would care for me. I don't understand that fully. But every once in a while, if I'll just stop and think about these things, I can get a glimpse of how much God loves me, how good He is to me. If I could praise God and thank God, that's a great way to get into His presence. Let's pray with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We'll begin to have an invitation. I just want to give you an opportunity tonight as we pray to think about how good God is and how merciful He is. Lord, I thank you so much for the truth of this chapter and how you've been merciful to us. Lord, how you've been good to us. Lord, I pray tonight if there's somebody here who's questioning your love, maybe doubting your love, God, I pray tonight that they would be wise and that they would observe these things. Lord, that they could understand, Lord, all of us, that we could understand your love and how good you are to us and how merciful you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.